Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for this opportunity. And we ask that you would bless this evening and that you would have your word come out. In Jesus' name, amen. It's funny why I always get nervous before I speak, and it's kind of funny. You do it so many times, you would think, why would this be? But I think maybe we don't ever want to misrepresent God's heart, right? So I was in the woods, which I love to be. And this world seems to be getting crazier. And that sometimes seems like, how can that be? But everything is shaking. Jobs that I have set up and planned to do with the guys get canceled. And then other jobs come in that you never think would be there and go. Wrestling with the COVID restrictions of trying to work in a place and man things and do things. Getting to be a little bit on the frustrating side, not just with me, but with my guys. I mean, today I had to carry a whole bunch of stuff up 3 flights of stairs. After about the 6th trip, this old fat guy was tired. And this lady at the bottom, all she could say was, "Your mask, your mask. Here's your mask." I was thinking about feeding her it. But but this world is interesting, and the division that's out here is crazy, isn't it? It's I was just trying to think about this, and we have such a divided people. We have a different point of view. We have different information. What was kind of informing, I don't know who sent it to me, but I passed it on. There was YouTube or whatever you want to call it from all of these ex-social media executives that had stepped away because they realized where this thing was going and explaining how all they do is sell time for you to be in front of that machine, and they don't care what your bent is on anything. They'll feed you whatever they want just to keep you on there. And it was kind of amazing to see the difference. The people all think you're receiving the truth of the same information, and it's all over the place, crazy, whatever anyone wants to send, as long as it'll keep you entertained so you will stay looking. Different desires, right? A difference in what is wrong and what is right. Where is truth? I mean, it's gotten so bad that the thing that I have an addiction for, I had to step away from. I cannot watch the NFL. I turn on what I love and I see these men disrespect my country, and I can't watch them. And that's your own opinion. That's my opinion. I just can't do it. So I was sitting there and I was very disgusted and upset with everything. And I asked God, why? Why is truth fallen in the street? And as much as I disagree with the phones, I used my Bible app on my phone, and he led me to Psalm 37, where I'd like us to go. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and then the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, he will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. So it's a pretty good answer to my situation. I think it couldn't have been better if God had just spoken instead of had me read. What does it mean to fret? It's to blaze in anger, to burn, to be furious, or to be vexed, right? Have you ever started thinking about something and then it gets going in you and you chew on it and it just eats you alive and you grow it into something way bigger than it is, right? And it tears on and it goes. And he's saying this only brings harm. This only brings harm. It's never going to lead us in the right way. It's never going to help us. But boy, I don't know about you, I'm pretty good at it. Lord says to us, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The word trust is to be confident or sure. Right? So if you said tonight, what does it mean to trust? So everyone here came in and sat down in the chair. I didn't see any of you guys shaking it, checking it to see what it is. You trusted that it would hold your weight. Right? One time we were in a Bible study at Gary's house and I sat in a chair and it didn't. He enjoyed that very much. But we come in and we trust, right? To have that assurance. Nobody, we didn't even think about that tonight. We just came in and did it, right? We didn't even consider that. That's the kind of trust God's looking for us to have. He's looking for us to be that sure with him. That much do we rely upon him. This world is so full of insecurity. It manifests itself in so many ways, right? But so much insecurity. I have some guys, big, strong, very capable guys, and they're just so nervous it's hard to get them to do a task on their own the first time to get them to go. And it's like, you know, guys, you do this every day, all day, you're good to do this. But insecurity plagues us. Right? Dwell means to lodge, reside, or permanently stay, abide, to live, or to settle down. Feed. We know what the feed is. I know what the feed is. I love to feed. But what we feed on is very important. And delight is to be pleased with, to have pleasure, and to wish to or desire to do. And then our desires are our petitions or our requests from our most inner heart and our inner place. So I was thinking about this is that, well, how do I get to the place? How do I come to a place that I come to have great pleasure or desire to be in the Word of God, to be with the Word of God, to be walking with God and comfort with God? How does that happen? How do I come to that place where so often we are with young people all the time and we see and say, this is boring. Like hearing the Word of God, sitting here and listening, this is boring. How does that transform? How do I come to the place where there's a delight? Where there's a joy? I was thinking, what do I delight in? Being with my wife, my family, my friends. Oh, I delight in food, right? I love action or games. Love the hunt, love the fish, love the nature. I love adventure. Those are all things that I think and I plan and I'm looking at and always trying to figure out how or where I could fit more of those things in, because they are delights to me. What is it that we really delight in? James 5:19-20, it says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." But why do I bring that up? Now, we know that Jesus saves. We know that it's God that saves. We understand that fully. But isn't it phenomenal to be a part of the process? Isn't it so incredibly exciting when somebody responds? I told the teenagers this. I was at a job in Natick 2 years ago, and the guy who was running the job had struggled with alcohol in his life and had found the Lord and had been able to step away from it. But he had taken himself out of the body of Christ, and he was starting to slip. And I talked with him several times in the process of the job, and I challenged him to step back and find a place to worship. And I got this CD in the, it took me a while to find a place to play it, but I got the CD that he had made, and it's real hokey, and if I let you listen to it, it's like old-time gospel hokey stuff. They made this CD. But to me, it was the sound of victory. Because why? Because he found a place. He found a place, and he went back to walk with God, and he sent me this big note, and he said, "Thank you." And I'm not saying this for my own. I'm trying to say I took great joy in it. I took great delight in seeing that and watching that took place. It was incredible. And it's amazing. Seeing someone touched by the hand of God brings delight. Watching lives get transformed. Hope given in a situation of despair. Peace passing understanding. Getting understanding. Hearing from God. Seeing restoration in a relationship. This is exciting. Seeing young men and women speaking about what God is doing in their life. Crazy adventures with God. Watching my children all get saved and profess Christ. Right? What delight we have. What incredible pleasure we have in the Lord. He says, "Commit your ways to the Lord and rest, and cease from anger." How do you cease from anger? Right? You say, "Oh, I'm going to stop being angry." Well, I'll get angry at myself for not being unangry. Right? But here's the thing, is that we realize that our situation is only for a little while. It's only for a short time. Maybe right now it looks like this world has so much power and so much control and so much evilness in it that it can vex you a little bit. And I was thinking when I was, I think I was just 16 years old, because I didn't have a driver's license, and my dad would drop me off at this job in Ashland, and my father ran a union plumbing shop, and we were redoing a junior high, and I stopped to work with the guys, and he would leave me in the morning and then pick me up in the evening. And I think it was the second day of the summer that I was there, this monster of a guy came and said, "Who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm who I am, right?" And he said, "You're not a union member. Get off this job." And I said, "Well, I'm here working for my father." He says, "Get off the job." And I went out to the trailer, because we didn't have these little phone buttons in those days. And I called the office, and I got my dad, and I said, "Hey, Dad, this guy told me I have to leave the job because I'm not union." And he said, "Really?" And I said, "He's a pretty powerful guy." And he said, did I raise a man or a mouse? And hung up the phone. So I really hoped that the guys who were my friends that I worked with that were my dad's men would stand up, but they were so afraid of this guy, and he was ominous. So it was my worst summer of my life. This guy just tortured me the whole time. You know, I could fight him as hard as I wanted, and I get nowhere. I was 16 years old, and he made my life miserable. But you know, this is how it is right now. Maybe it looks like Satan's in control. But you know, things change and times change. And I believe it was 9 years later, I had put on about 100 pounds and had had some experience in disagreement. And I came to a job site and there he was. But now he was 9 years older. And he wasn't so powerful. And I'd like to say I gave him grace, but I did not. And I tortured his life. But you know what? Never again would he have power over me, because he will always be aging faster than I am, right? So I will always be in a better shape, because I'll be able to kick him over in his walker before, or push his wheelchair, right? Why am I saying that? Because this is how it is. Because once God turns this over, they're gone. Satan's gone. His power's gone. He has no power over us. He's going to be nothing. And we're going to look and say, really? Really? You caused me the worst summer of my life, you miserable idiot. Right? And look at you now. And that's what it's going to be. And that's what God's trying to say to us. Stop fretting. We win. We will be in control, and it will be for eternity. It's not going to be one game or one season. It's for eternity that we will be there. We need to think about the inheritance we have that God is bringing to us. What has God got coming for us? What is in front of us? Right? Eternal life. No more sin nature. Dwelling with the Lord, a perfect body, right? A perfect place. What does Satan want to do? He doesn't want us to understand that. Because God's plan is so simple for us. It's so simple. What does he say? Trust, dwell, feed, delight, and receive the desires, right? See them come. Watch how it is. So what does Satan want to do? He realizes that if we go down that path, that we are of no unstoppable in his kingdom. James 1:5 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, unfruitful, scattered, unpredictable, foolish, and unproductive. What does he want us to do? He wants us to look to our own self, trust in ourselves. He wants us to dwell in the world and be a part of the world system. He wants us to feed on the things of this earth. He wants us to feed on the understanding of human mind. I had a guy just the other day, and he said, well, how can any judge be a judge and be objective if they have a religious belief? And I said, really? So in other words, nobody can be objective except you, and you have no religious belief. And he said, no. I said, then what you do is you have a belief. It's called humanism. You believe that you evolved. So how can I trust you for right and wrong? Because you come from the same thing, right? But here we go in this world, and human reasoning, because until we had that argument, that guy thought he had it all down, was pretty smart. Right? But what happens to us when we delight in natural attractions? Right? What happens? How many broken families? How many broken lives? How many destroyed people? I can't imagine. So many people have been ruined by drugs and alcohol. It's a staggering number. It's beyond. But what does God say? Luke 6:49. Where are you going to build your house? Are you going to build it on a rock? Or are you going to build it on the sand? You know, building on a rock takes longer because it takes more effort. But boy, does it pay off. Fear and anxiety are the fruit of self-trust. But aren't they always present? Aren't they always present with us? Aren't they always there trying to find a way into our life? Proverbs 27:9 says, ointment and perfume delight in our heart. And the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by heartly counsel. Think about that. Where am I dwelling? Who is giving me counsel? Who am I feeding on? In the multitude of my anxieties with me, you comfort and delight my soul. That's Psalm 94:19. I just have a few of these here. Psalm 119:140. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. Proverbs 18:2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man. Psalm 22:8. God delights in us. Psalm 16:3. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight, saith the Lord. Proverbs 3:12. For who the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father the son in whom he delights. In Isaiah 58:11, it says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water does not fail. Right? You think of that promise. If I can learn to dwell in the house of the Lord, if I can learn to trust in Him, if I can learn to delight in Him, if I can feed on His righteousness, what happens? Become like an incredible provision. Isaiah 58:13-14, it says, choose not your way but my way, and you will ride on the hills. I'm paraphrasing that. But what does that mean? Is it say, okay, you know what? So here it is. I trust God, right? I trust Him. I dwell with Him. I feed with Him. I delight in Him, taking great pleasure in Him, and I have the desires my heart feels. Does that mean there's no trouble that comes? I mean, that's it. Okay, well, you know, you're having trouble. You must not be following the formula. It's not a formula. It's a plan of God. You know what I've watched in this church? We have so many, unfortunately, widows. And I've watched these ladies absolute, you know, I can't even imagine what that would be like, right? I can't even imagine it. But yet they draw close to God. They walk with God. They stand with God. They're an incredible testimony of the faithfulness of God in the midst of a terrible drought, but there's water in their life. There's fruit that's coming out of their lives. And it's incredible to see. And it really is something I take delight in, is watching them and watching them step in their continuous steadfastness. Absolutely incredible. Right? As I was sitting tonight and I sat down in the living room and said, Lord, what should I say? Because so many times what you studied, when you get to that point, you look at it and say, who wrote these notes? And I looked over, next to me was a photograph book that Charlie had given us, because most of the, well, all of the stuff we had is, no longer. But I looked in this and it was all random pictures, but there was all kinds of pictures going way back with the teen group. And there was one that was really funny because these guys always take pictures of me, one like for my dad's funeral and pictures, and they show them in teen group and that. But I've got one now because I have this picture of Jess with these big glasses. Excuse me, it was Joyce. It was not Jess. I apologize. And she's there. I think she's maybe 12 and a half years old, right? And she was so scared that her sister had to come with her because she couldn't be there. And I can't wait to show that picture. But you look and you say, here we are in life. Where's this? And then I look and across all of these faces we're looking at and all of these things that are there. And so many of them, nothing to do with us, but because they wanted what God had, because they saw the value of God and they trusted that the Lord's word was true. They dwelt in his house. They fed on his righteousness and they delighted in his word and in his life. And here they are with the desires of their heart being filled, even though we might not have even known the real desires of our heart. We know the wants or the needs, but do we even really know the desires that are there until God shows them to us? What an awesome thing to be able to see. What an incredible time. What is the trust of God? Is knowing that he is faithful to his word and that he has died and paid for our sin. The salvation of our life is the key to everything. Without the starting of the salvation, we are nothing more than acquaintances with God. Right? But when I say to him, I understand what you have done. I understand what I have done, and I want you to step into my life, and I want to receive the inheritance that's there. Think about it. For eternity, we are free from the power. Just like that poor guy, forever I am free from his influence, right? Forever. For being free from the influence of Satan for eternity. Living in a body that is perfect, that doesn't hurt after you go up and down the stairs so many times, right? And that is so exciting. But I really want you to think about that. Trust, dwell, feed, delight, and have the desires of your heart met. And watch the joy of the Lord set us free. But look around. Look around and see what is here. See what happens. 2 weeks ago, Sal spoke on our Monday night class about music, about that he had done the study on music from Alistair Begg's, and he spoke many things that we do already and a few that we don't. And then this Sunday, the music was incredible. It was the week later, and it was like almost like, to me anyway, maybe it was just because God finally opened up my stupid eyes. But man, that was powerful music on Sunday. And tonight was excellent too. Fantastic. But think about how many people from here have gone from here and gone to Bible college and then gone from Bible college out into the world. How many of you that have changed lives with people and how exciting that is. And what am I doing? I'm getting angry about the situation of the world when the whole world is not worth one soul. What is wrong with me? But I need to read this psalm. I need to see the psalm. And it goes on for 40 verses, and they're all the same. They continue with his power. Read the rest of it tonight. It's unbelievable that he is for me. And if he is for me, who can be against me? Who can stand? Why am I worried? Why do I let that anxiety in? Trust. Dwell. Be in the body of Christ. Be with the body of Christ. Those of us that are here tonight know that. But please, I wanted you to think of that special as we close. What do you delight in? What do you take pleasure in? What gives great pleasure? And there are many things, but what really satisfies? Think on that. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this time. Maybe by chance there's somebody here that maybe have been around and been an acquaintance of you. Please don't be an acquaintance. Be a son or daughter. Ask him to come into your life, Lord. Ask him to take over your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And then please tell somebody about it. In Jesus' name, amen.